A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
And welcome to another Top 10 Debate. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by Andy Murray of What Culture to talk about things that must happen before WrestleMania 38. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, NXT, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and the roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Andy Murray, talk about his article, 10 WWE Things That Must Happen Before WrestleMania 38. And, well, let's dive straight into it, Andy, because I don't really need to ask you what the catalyst behind this list was. With the entry at number 10 and something you and I were really enjoying watching UFC this weekend, which is just having fans back properly.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the thing. So, like, before we just lavish this this UFC show with praise, as great a show as it was, yeah, probably very irresponsible, right? Having 15,000 people in this arena when the president of your company is a maniac who's like, hey, you don't have to wear masks. Hey, who cares? This whole thing's blown out of proportion and all that stuff. Although I'd be remiss not to praise the measures they took avoiding the global health crisis before all this. That Jacksonville show sounds like an absolute catastrophe waiting to happen, so we'll see what comes out of that. But the other side of the coin of all that was, and you know, I think if you're able to separate the two, it's very difficult to do so, but the noise was amazing. It was incredible. Yeah, I just had this energized crowd in a building for the first time in over a year. It took every single thing to a new level. And that's in mixed martial arts. Like in pro wrestling, the whole point in mixed martial arts, your chief goal is to win the fight, right?
Yeah.
Some people are more entertainers than others, but really you want to tap someone out, get the decision, knock them out, whatever, whatever. In pro wrestling, it's all about working the crowd. If you can't work the crowd, nothing else matters. So I think it's going to be doubly insane when they return to wrestling. And you kind of got the impression from the way the fighters were competing as well, that they were fired up and ready to go and throwing everything into their performances. But obviously, you know, I'm not going to sit here and call for WWE to next week book a 15,000 seat arena with no social distancing and no whatever else, indoors, no masks, stupid rules all over the place. None of that. A safe, slow return to normality, not just spamming everything at once. WrestleMania was a success in terms of bringing people back through the door. AEW has done some good things with Daily's Place and spacing people out and putting them in pods. A slow, gradual return to normality until we get to the point where we can have these fully attended arenas safely, because the vaccine rollout in the United States has been insane recently. It's been crazy. On course for a tremendous rollout across the board. Normality is going to come back a little bit quicker than we thought it would, and that's great. Really, I mean, what's going to hinder this? What's going to stop fans coming back before next WrestleMania? It's like another mutation or another variation or whatever, and God forbid that would happen. But we're on course to do it, and watching some of those fights, it, as guilty as I felt for, you know, endorsing this potentially... What's the word I'm looking for? Potentially irresponsible practice, yeah. Right? From the UFC. Undoubtedly, it made me feel alive again watching the show, man. It was crazy.
It's weird watching, I said this at the time, it's weird watching WrestleMania 37 because it sounds negative when I say this, but it felt like the crowd had regressed like 20 years. And that's a good thing, I hasten to add. But it felt very sort of old school in the sort of way they received heels and baby faces. And they, you know, like you and I, like you say, representative of how starved of action that wrestling fans are, that they will pop for near enough anything, let's be perfectly honest. But yeah, a fully attended WrestleMania next year. Fingers crossed, like you say, without any of the safeguards that we've needed unquestionably and still do need, would be truly, truly sensational. From something that brings joy into your heart, I'm going to bring you crashing back down to reality, Andy Murray, with nonsense. And I say that as a man who is previewed earlier on today and will inevitably watch tonight alongside yourself, a show with a woman playing a child with a doll and a man who got set on fire and then got beaten by an RKO. Spooky bollocks! I've known this for quite some time. Not exactly the biggest fan of not even just this storyline, but what it encapsulates, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, I really think they've got to get rid of this stuff. Like, I get that everything is subjective, and particularly when you have something like this, which is supernatural and a bit weird and a bit cartoonish and everything else. But what benefit do you have this on your show, right? What is the huge boost of having Alexa Bliss seemingly playing a child and this spooky murder clown who can control...
We are not talking to you. We're doing a podcast. Sorry, Andy. She interrupted you there.
Oh, God. Curses. Curses. But this thing has never driven viewership or anything like that. You know, you've had some good merch sales and everything else. But, like, it kind of, for me, comes at the cost of the suspension of disbelief. I know I'm not alone in saying this. A lot of people who watch professional wrestling are taken totally out of it by this spooky nonsense. Now, a common counterpoint to this, of course, is, well, The Undertaker exists. Yeah, The Undertaker exists. Yes, he debuted in 1990. you know, I was 3 years old when The Undertaker debuted in WWE. I'm 33 years old now. So arguments like that don't really stack up to me. The whole thing, what the best way to possibly describe the current Alexa Bliss and Bray Wyatt stuff is that if you were just sitting there watching a show and say a family member or a partner or a sibling or whatever walked into the room who had never seen wrestling before, it's the kind of stuff you would be embarrassed by. You would turn it off. You would hide the remote even, because when you remove yourself from, you know, this thing that you watch every single week and you try and look at it independently, it's really horrendous. I have trouble not being subjective over this because I don't see what good it brings in any single way. I get that some people like their sports entertainment to be a little bit out there and a little bit over the place, but for me, this stuff just violates the accepted psychology, the decades-old accepted psychology of what professional wrestling is. I don't think that anyone can reasonably expect WWE to be taken seriously as a product, especially Raw, with this weird tripe going on every single week. And for me, they've got to flush it in the bin, man. They've got to get rid of it. The Bray Wyatt cult leader character had a lot going for him. You know, there were still some elements that didn't really jibe with standard pro wrestling psychology and everything else, but it was a lot easier to swallow than this stuff is nuts. I keep hearing about how creative it is it really creative though? Okay, the costume design's pretty cool, the mask is really detailed, but I mean, how many horror movies over the past, I don't know, 100 years has this just borrowed tropes from all over the place? It's not creative. It's just taking a really basic idea from somewhere else and trying to put it in pro wrestling where it doesn't fit for me. Yeah, man. Like, I feel like I've annoyed enough people with this point already. But for me, it belongs in a dumpster fire, man. It really does. Pro wrestling can be whatever it wants to be, right? But it has to be that within a pro wrestling framework. Yeah. It shouldn't necessarily be a big song and dance that has nothing to do with two competitive people trying to win a fight, like a scripted fight in the ring. Alexa Bliss is doing mind control and swinging on a chair and thinks she's five and she's got this talking doll. It's like, No, man, this isn't Goosebumps. This is not a Goosebumps novel. R.L. Stine is not scripting this stuff. Someone worse is scripting this stuff. It needs to end. I will not give up this campaign until it does end. And when it does, I won't celebrate it, but I'll probably have a beer and go, thank God, it's done.
Apologies if you got sort of spoken across there again. Whenever you mention Little Miss Bliss's name, sets her off.
That's what that was. All right, Amazon, Jeff Bezos spying on us.
Saying something along the lines of, I can't find put something in a dumpster fire in your contacts. you mentioned a point there that I wanted to get onto, actually, which I've been thinking more and more about this. And it's, you know, and I guess the counter argument to this is, well, like you say, again, the Undertaker worked and still works, arguably. Not to the same extent, obviously, but for all the, if you do consider this good drama, and it's divisive to say the least, it still ends in a wrestling match. It has to. That's the confines of the thing you're working in. And that's why, and this is going to possibly set off a whole other firestorm, I think it's becoming more and more comparable to the part-time wrestler stuff, you know, when it was like, this guy's a dumpster guy, but also sometimes he wrestles. This guy is a goon, but sometimes he wrestles. This guy is a murder clown, but sometimes he wrestles and he wants titles. Like, it doesn't translate, like you say, and I think you're right. I think, you know, for everything else, you can go, oh, yeah, they did that. Even to the nth degree, even like, you can say, yeah, Triple H shagged the mannequin, but it was all to wind up Kane because of his backstory and Doughy getting Edge in a match. Like that, do you see what I mean there in terms of like, yeah. At least even if someone walks in, you can go, ah, yeah, but this is a means to an end. Not, ah, but this is leading him to a swamp, drowning him and taking the title. Like just doesn't work, does it? Just doesn't translate
into
wrestling.
Yeah, comedy. Exactly. And there's people out there who try to pretend that this stuff is like this crazy, deep, shared universe storytelling. It's like a 1,000-page novel, man. There's so much lore in this. It's like, you're not playing Skyrim, bro. You're like, it's a wrestling character, and it's a paper thin wrestling character. It's a guy with a spooky mask and an infantile girlfriend who may or may not be under her control anymore, and she's got a doll, and everyone absolutely sucks. It's like, it's maddening, the discourse surrounding all of this stuff. It drives me around the bend, honestly, like nothing else in wrestling, because it's crazy. It's insane. There's nothing deep or nuanced or anything else. People will work themselves, tie themselves into knots to justify this. Like at WrestleMania, because Bray had slimmed down a bit or whatever, when he wrestled the match with Randy Orton, there was all these numpties on social media going, oh, wow, what if it's Bo Dallas? He might be coming in. He's his brother. He could be another fiend and all of this stuff. And what if Sister Abigail is behind the mask? And, like, I mean, no offense, generally, if you're into this stuff, fair enough. We're all different people. It's all subjective. We all have different tastes. I wish you no ill will whatsoever. It just doesn't make a lick of sense in my brain, and my brain has been consuming pro wrestling since 1992. It doesn't stand up. Maybe if this debuted in 1990 with The Undertaker, it would stand a better chance. But we've all moved on. We've all moved on from this garbage. The various eras we've come through should have swept it all the way into the ocean. But anyway, welcome to the Fiend Burial Hour section of this podcast. I'm very sorry for anyone who's already turned off. But they've got to get away from it for me. For the product to move forward, this change the channel nonsense has got to go. It is nonsense from start to finish.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Anyway, from something we try and hide from our friends when it comes to wrestling, something I quite openly push them towards, and that is Roman bloody Reigns. What a star he has become over the last year or so, I suppose. Maybe less than that, of course, with his understandable missing of last year's WrestleMania for medical reasons. I think he has been a revelation from SummerSlam onwards, if you ask me. He's the reason why I just so enjoy any, you know, if it's Triple H coming out every week, cutting promos and going, you don't even deserve to face me, I probably would feel very differently. But I think he's one of the shining lights of not just SmackDown, but of WWE. And one of the things you want them to do ahead of WrestleMania 38 is find the person who takes over for him. Because as much as it's great now, I sense by next April, we may well be, quite rightly, if they book this the right way, begging for someone to replace him.
Yeah, for sure. A fundamental component of the star-making process in professional wrestling is having the next guy up. You need to know who eventually, at the end of this tremendous Roman Reigns title run, who's going to be the person who's finally able to stand up to this guy and finally beat him after this long, dominant run on top where he's stacked the odds against every single person. He's beaten Daniel Bryan, he's beaten Edge, Kevin Owens, loads of other people. He's going to beat Daniel Bryan again this coming week. He's probably going to beat Cesaro at the pay-per-view after that. It's what it's all about. It's not just about having this person sitting there at the top. And I think they've done an excellent job with Roman Reigns, both like as he was like a dominator when he first came back. Now he's more of a cowardly heel in the way he stacks the odds against people, which he's great at as well. He's tremendous at it. And surrounding himself with Jey Uso and Paul Heyman and everyone. So yeah, they do just need to sit down and go, okay, so who's getting the rub to beat Roman Reigns? How are we going to do it? When are we going to do it? And when are we going to start? Because you need to start now. You need to have somebody bubbling away in the background, building up and working their way up the ladder so that they can believably dethrone the tribal chief. They have a similar problem with Walter on NXT UK. Who the hell is on that guy's level, right? They've got to build up someone down there. But on their most watched show, SmackDown, it's the same. For me, if I'm looking at the options available to them right now, and you know, I'm sure they'll probably have a draft between now and whenever they take the belt off Roman, I think he's going to hold it for a long, long time. But for me, looking at it, I think Big E might be the best choice.
Yes!
He's an all-around beast of a man in terms of what he can do in the ring, in terms of how great an athlete he is, but also in terms of his personality. I think he's pretty much it. I mean, you know, if he was like 7 inches taller, I'm sure he would have been like world champion like 9 million times in a row by now, because he's a monster. That's not to say that he's short or his size has ever held him back, because that would be a ridiculous statement. But you know what I mean? I think he would be the guy. I don't see what he lacks on the WWE check sheet. I think he has to get through the lingering, you know, any lingering issues he has with Apollo Crews and Commander Aziz and all that stuff. And make a clean break from the Intercontinental Championship division. Failing upwards is very much a thing in pro wrestling, right? You lose a mid-card belt, you advance to another division. It happens all the time. It's not great, but, you know, it's a hallmark of WWE, and New Japan in particular, very bad for it. But they have the opportunity to do something longer term, so it's not just suddenly like, oh, he's left the IC division. He's facing Roman Reigns. Now, that doesn't make any sense. They can do this over a year if they want. They could build this all the way to WrestleMania in Hollywood. That's 2 years away. What am I talking about? It's Dallas. We're going to Dallas. But they could build this thing for a year, man. Big E could win the Royal Rumble. A lot of us picked him for this year's Royal Rumble. But if you do it slower, if you take your time, honestly, what does the guy lack? What does Big E lack that could prevent him from being just a colossal main event babyface hero? I think he's the guy. I would entertain arguments for a number of other people as well. But for me, the timing is right. He's never been the top champ. Let's just do it. Let's do the thing. Why not? Why not?
You will not hear a single complaint from me regarding this booking. I think it is the most wide open, open goal WWE have had in years. And I realize they've had quite a few of them. Becky Lynch, Shayna Baszler at WrestleMania, for example, where they go, no, we'll change our mind. And, you know, even to balance things out, The Fiend should have beaten Randy Orton at WrestleMania this year. Just because Vince got out of bed that weekend and changed his mind shouldn't change things. And that will lead into one of our final points actually today. But yeah, like it's really, really easy. Like I'm not going to book you through every single pay-per-view, but yeah, having beat Brian, even if it's through shenanigans this week, having beat Cesaro on two pay-per-views, having beat him through shenanigans at Backlash, WrestleMania Backlash, sorry, where's my manners, and having beat him again at Money in the Bank. And like, you just have to book month to month and make everyone seem credible. You know, when I watched Rich Swann, Kenny Omega over the weekend, I didn't think, oh, maybe Rich Swann will win the title. That'd be a hell of a swerve. I thought, Kenny Omega's leaving with all the bloody gold here. But I still bought on, you know, the cutter or whatever it may be, the near falls that you get in those sorts of matches. It's, you just need good booking and and if you people sit there and say, well, what about The Rock challenging him? That's the big match. Look, you can have The Rock versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania Hollywood, like you say, the year after. Or if you get the opportunity to do it before then, just because you've got The Rock, and think about all the other storylines you've sacrificed over the years, WWE, doesn't mean it has to happen at WrestleMania. Imagine the eyes that would be on the Royal Rumble, which, as I agree with you, Andy, should be won by Big E. Imagine the eyes being on that if you said Roman Reigns versus The Rock and Roman Reigns beats The Rock clean and they go, oh, God, we've just used like our ace. And who the hell's going to stop him now? And then Big E's there going, I've won the Rumble. Like Big E main events ahead, maybe Big E wouldn't main event, but Big E's on the same show. You main event with Roman versus The Rock, and there it is. It's really easy. But yeah, I genuinely love a lot of the guys on that WWE roster. But aside from Big E, I don't think anyone else can be the person to be that successor over Roman Reigns, and be the catalyst for change within WWE. Having said that, Andy Murray, maybe the person who should beat Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 38 is Pat McAfee, because we need more celebrities in wrestling because they're great.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, so I think maybe the past year or so, let's say a year, has forecasts how WWE should use celebrities going forward. Because for years in WWE, and it's kind of weird considering that, you know, one of their great successes back in the day was Cyndi Lauper, who was at the cultural zeitgeist and helped usher in the rock and wrestling era in the 80s and was hugely important to that era of the company. But over the years, the thing with WWE has become, oh, they're using all these old guys who are like 10 years out of their prime. Remember, it even goes as far as memes and like, you know, remember when they had Grumpy Cat like host an episode of Raw? And it was like 5 years after that meme was even popular. It's like they're so far behind culturally that when they bring a celebrity in, often it's like, what the hell are they doing? Like this is really, really strange. But this year, it's been tremendous. Like the past year or so, they've gone with people who are genuinely relevant to modern pop culture. And whether you like... I always get them mixed up. I'm sorry. The Paul brother that they use. Logan, right? Whether you like Logan Paul, whether you like Bad Bunny, whether you like Pat McAfee, it doesn't matter because these people are relevant. They are popular today. They're not popular 10 years ago. They are popular today. And that's what makes all the difference. Bad Bunny sold $500,000 worth of merchandise in his first week in the company. And then he had a tremendous match at WrestleMania. It was so much fun. After putting in the hard work in the gym, grafting, grinding, learning the craft, respecting the trade, and pulling off the match. Logan Paul played his role well at WrestleMania. The whole building wanted to see him get his ass kicked. He got his ass kicked. Yeah. Perfect. The guy, say what you will about him personally, I'll keep, you know, I think he's kind of an asshole. That's how he comes off as well. But he makes you want to see him get punched in the face. He's a good heel.
Yeah.
You know, less said about photographs in graveyards and stuff, the better, because that stuff's gross, obviously. But then you got Pat McAfee, who's just, revelation.
He has been double over my words as well, mate. Look at that man. What a piece.
He's tremendous. He's excellent. The Adam Cole match, you could, and I wouldn't argue you if you said this, you could say it's the best celebrity match of all time. Yeah. He then did War Games and threw himself about like a lunatic. He cuts great promos. He loves wrestling. He co-promoted it on his show. And now he's on SmackDown and he's fun on commentary. A WWE commentator is fun. Who thought we would ever say that with the overproduced nature of the job they have to do? The very difficult job they have to do, but it is overproduced. That's what WWE have got to keep doing going forward. For me, it's an opportunity to grow your brand when you use people who are culturally relevant now. It doesn't matter if you listening at home don't like Bad Bunny's music. Hey, I don't like Bad Bunny's music either, but it worked. The thing worked in terms of merchandise sales. That's what they need to do going forward. I want to see more celebrity appearances, honestly, because when they're done right, they're awesome. I don't want to see it every week or every month even, but a couple here and there. AEW have done a good job with it as well recently, I think. Shaq ruled. Now maybe not to the same level as Bad Bunny or Pat McAfee or whoever else. But this is the way to do it.
Yeah.
People who are relevant now. Whoever they employed over the past year who's figured out that they need relevant celebrities is worth their weight in gold for sure.
One final thing I'd add to that, like I say, I completely agree with what you said. One final thing I would add is just I had one question just before they signed the contract to commit to whatever it is, and that is. Final question. You know, like in The Great Escape, where they trick him by doing good luck and they, English, thank you very much. Aha, got you. Just say, one final question before you sign that contract. What's the name of our August pay per view? Oh, you mean the Summerfest? Ha ha, got you. You don't bloody know what it's called. Right, one final thing to talk about. I don't normally do the number one spot on these lists. Please do still go and check out Andy Murray's list, whatculture.com, 10 WWE things that must happen before WrestleMania 38, including finding out which person he thinks WWE should cut ties with. Without the number one entry on this list, Andy, everything we've discussed, aside from fans coming back, and even that, there'd be less fans if things stay the same they are. It can't happen without, as you said, a complete creative overhaul. And that includes probably the boss man.
Yeah, so I really do hate making this point. I cannot stand making this point because you do it so many times, and it's clear that Vince McMahon is here to stay. He's a Lazarus. He's immortal. He's going to stay in that job for a long, long time and everything else. And there's not going to be a complete creative overhaul because he's been there for 30 years or whatever, longer. Obviously longer than 30 years. What am I talking about? He's set in his ways. These habits are a product of him. The way the shows are reflect him and his preferences and how he runs the company and everything else. Generally, genuinely hate bringing this point up that for real change to come to WWE creatively, there has to be a big shakeup. Somebody has to switch things around and maybe Vince doesn't have the final say on anything. But you have to make that point when you're talking about something like this, because there's no point in saying, yeah, they should push Cesaro, or they should have five women's matches on the show, or they should do this, they should give Daniel Bryan another run. There's no point in saying any of that without acknowledging that the reason that a lot of these fantasy booking scenarios that we all think would be really good don't come to fruition is because creative will not allow those things to happen. Mm. So for me, it's a point you have to acknowledge every single time. That's why I put it in the list. It wasn't to be like, hey, yeah, Vince sucks, he's got to go. The fact is, WWE is more profitable today than it ever has been, right? The goal of the business has shifted as well. If you listen to Nick Khan, I think it was Colin Cowherd's podcast he was on the other week. He said, he outright said, we are not a wrestling company. We are a media company. We are a content company. Our number one goal is to branch out into other forms of media. So we can't sit here and say all these cool storylines should happen and all of this stuff, because that's not their goal. Their goal is to just keep what they're doing, and that's milking as much money out of this massive volume of content they produce as possible. I don't know if we will ever really see a shift like this until Vince is genuinely no longer able to perform to the level he wants to as the big boss. He's not going to step away willingly. I wonder, and I have this sneaking suspicion in the back of my head, if his last big roll of the dice is going to be to sell the company to someone like NBCU, who obviously have the content rights for the archive now on Peacock. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to wait and see. But all the issues people have with WWE, all the major problems with the creative and the storylines and the booking patterns and 50-50 booking and scripted promos and not pushing this guy and this person and blah, 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 blah. They are all a product of the existing system. And this system has been in place for a long, long time. If it doesn't change, nothing else can change. So we can't have a conversation like we're having today without making this point. Like I said, I don't like it. I think it's, we say it like every single week, right? It's overdone. But it has to be made because it's relevant and it's true. And until it happens, until there's a big reshuffle, things are just going to be the same.
You're right, because at the end of the day, even if genuinely, I'm rant and rave and moan about these team of writers, and you know, we take the piss out of segments, and you think, how have teams of 40 plus writers written this, with a week's preparation? Et cetera, et cetera. Even if one of the best writers of all time suddenly joins WWE, at the end of the day, you're still always going to be catering to the audience of one. And you could write the best promo or the best storyline, whatever you want. At the end of it all, if he decides he doesn't like it, whether it be on the day or weeks before, but more than likely on the actual day, it will probably be, if he doesn't like it, then that's it. That's game over, really. A complete creative overhaul. But the caveat being, the creative has to be overhauled from the very top. Otherwise, everything we've discussed, aside from having fans back, might not happen.
Yeah, exactly. It's to the whim of the man at the top of the pile. And look, the man at the top of the pile is 75 years old. He's not changing. That's what it's going to take. But, WWE, like we said, is booked as a content production enterprise now. It's not booked as a wrestling promotion. So you got to acknowledge all these things in a conversation like this. And I do think it would be great if they pushed Cesaro, as the example we always use, Cesaro, or did whatever else and got rid of scripted promos and stuff. It's not going to happen, though, until there's a big change.
We can dream. Let us know your thoughts, though, on things that you'd like to see happen in WWE before WrestleMania 38 on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there. You can follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for Happy Birthday Kane. Which is, yep, cool.
Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, including, of course, tomorrow, our review of Monday Night Raw. But for now, this has been another Top 10 Debate. My thanks to the article's author, which you still check out right now, WhatCulture.com. 10 WWE things that must happen before WrestleMania 38. Thanks to Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.